It was unbelievable. They had all gone insane. This damned alien world had sent them all right round the bend into bye-bye dreamland along with the Creechies. He still couldn't believe what he'd seen at that conference and the briefing after it. A Starfleet ship's commander bootlicking two humanoids. Engineers and techs ooing over a fancy radio presented to them by a hairy station with a lot of sneering and boasting, as if ICDs hadn't been predicted by Terran science years ago. The humanoids had stolen the idea and called it an Ansible so nobody would recognize it was just an ICD. But the worst part of it had been the conference, with that psycho Lyubov raving and crying and Colonel Dung letting him do it, letting him insult Davison and HQ staff and the whole colony. And all the time, the two aliens sitting and grinning, the little gray ape and the big white fairy sneering at humans. It had been pretty bad. Hadn't got any better since the Shackleton left. He didn't mind being sent down to New Java camp under Major Mohammed. The colonel had to discipline him. Old Ding Dong might actually be very happy about that fire raid he had pulled in reprisal on Smith Island, but the raid had been a breach of discipline, and he had to reprimand Davison. All right, rules of the game. But what wasn't in the rules was this stuff coming over that overgrown TV set they called the Ansible, their new little tin god at HQ. Orders from the Bureau of Colonial Administration in Karachi. Restrict Terran-Athshian contact to occasions arranged by Athshians. In other words, you couldn't go into a Creechy warren and round up a workforce anymore. Employment of volunteer labor is not advised. Employment of forced labor is forbidden. How in the hell were they supposed to get the work done? Did Earth want this wood, or didn't it? They were still sending the robot cargo ships to New Tahiti, weren't they? For a year, each carrying about $30 million new dollars worth of prime lumber back to Mother Earth. Sure, the development people wanted those millions. They were businessmen. These messages weren't coming from them. Any fool could see that. The colonial status of World 41, why didn't they call it New Tahiti anymore, is under consideration. Until decision is reached, colonists should observe extreme caution in all dealings with native inhabitants. The use of weapons of any kind except small sidearms carried in self-defense is absolutely forbidden. Just as on Earth, except that there a man couldn't even carry sidearms anymore. What the hell was the use of coming 27 light-years to a frontier world and then get told no guns, no fire jelly, no bug bombs, just sit like nice little boys and let the Creechies come spit in your faces and sing songs at you and then stick a knife in your guts and burn down your camp, but don't you hurt the cute little green fellers, no, sir. A policy of avoidance is strongly advised. A policy of aggression or retaliation is strictly forbidden. That was the gist of all the messages, actually. And any fool could tell that that wasn't the colonial administration talking. They couldn't have changed that much in 30 years. It was clear to anybody who hadn't gone splaw from GeoShock that the Ansible messages were phonies. There weren't any men typing the answers onto the other end of that little trick. They were aliens, humanoids, probably Satians, for the machine was Satian-made, and they were a smart bunch of devils. They were the kind that might make a real bid for interstellar supremacy. The Hainish would be in the conspiracy with them, of course. All that bleeding heart stuff and the so-called directives had a Hainish sound to it. What the long-term objective of the aliens was hard to guess from here. It probably involved weakening the Terran government by tying it up with this League of Worlds business until the aliens were strong enough to make an armed takeover. But their plan for New Tahiti was easy to see. They'd let the Creechies wipe out the humans for them. Just tie the humans' hands with a lot of fake Ansible directives and let the slaughter begin. And Colonel Dong had swallowed it. He intended to obey orders. He was stupid, old Ding Dong, but he liked Davison, and Davison liked him. If it meant betraying the human race to an alien conspiracy, then he couldn't obey his orders, but he still felt sorry for the old soldier. A fool, but a loyal and brave one. Not a born traitor like that whining, tattling prig Lyubov. If he could save the men and women of New Tahiti, he would. If he couldn't, he'd make a damn good try, and that was all there was to it, actually. It couldn't last long. The whole situation was too crazy to be stable. If they didn't start easing back to normal now the Shackleton was gone, then Captain D. Davison would just have to do a little extra work to get things headed back towards normalcy. The morning of the day he left Central, they had let loose the whole Creechy workforce. made a big noble speech in Pigeon, opened the compound gates, and let out every single tame creature, carriers, diggers, cooks, houseboys, maids, the lot. Not one had stayed. Some of them had been with their masters ever since the start of the colony, 4 years ago. But they had no loyalty. A dog, a chimp, would have hung around. These things weren't even that highly developed. Ding Dong was splaw, letting all those creatures loose right in the vicinity. So if the wild creatures on Central were planning to imitate the Smith Camp atrocity, they now had lots of real handy new recruits who knew the layout of the whole town, the routines, where the arsenal was, where guards were posted, and the rest. If Centralville got burned down, HQ could thank themselves. One thing, anyhow, whatever the phony directive said, the boys at Central wouldn't be stuck with trying to use small sidearms for self-defense. They had fire throwers and machine guns. The 16 little hoppers had machine guns and were useful for dropping fire jelly from. The 5 big hoppers had full armament, but they wouldn't need the big stuff. Just take up a hopper over one of the deforested areas and catch a mess of creatures there with their damn bows and arrows and start dropping fire jelly and watch them run around and burn. It made his belly churn a little to imagine it, just like when he thought about making a woman or whenever he remembered about when that Sam creature had attacked him and he had smashed in his whole face with 4 blows, one right after another. New Java was the southernmost of the 5 big lands, just north of the equator, and so was hotter than Central or Smith, which were just about perfect climate-wise. It rained all the time in the wet seasons anywhere on New Tahiti, but in the northern lands it was a kind of quiet, fine rain that went on and never really got you wet or cold. Down here it came in buckets, and there was a monsoon-type storm that you couldn't even walk in, let alone work in. The damn forest was so thick it kept out the storms. You'd get wet from all the dripping off the leaves, of course, but if you were really inside the forest during one of those monsoons, you'd hardly notice the wind was blowing, and inside the forest it was dark and hot and easy to get lost. The CO, Major Mohammed, was a sticky bastard. Everything was done by the book. The logging all in kilo strips, the fiberweed crap planted in the log strips, leave to Central granted in strict non-preferential rotation, hallucinogens rationed and their use on duty punished, and so on and so on. However, one good thing about Mohammed was he wasn't always radioing Central. New Java was his camp, and he ran it his way. He didn't like orders from HQ. He obeyed them all right. He'd let the creatures go and locked up all the guns except little pop gun pistols as soon as the orders came. But he was a self-righteous type. Knew he was right. That was his big fault. He thought he knew better than Davison, and that was that. They were all a bit sticky at first, actually. None of these men at New Java knew anything about the Smith Camp atrocity, except that the camp CO had left for Central an hour before it happened, and so was the only human that escaped alive. Put like that, it did sound bad. You could see why at first it looked at him like a kind of Jonah, or worse, a kind of Judas even. But when they got to know him, they'd know better. They'd begin to see that, far from being a deserter or traitor, he was dedicated to preventing the colony of New Tahiti from betrayal. And they'd realized that getting rid of the creatures was going to be the only way to make this world safe for the Terran way of life. It wasn't too hard to start getting that message across to the loggers. They never liked the little green rats, having to drive them to work all day and guard them all night, and now they began to understand that the creatures were not only repulsive, but dangerous. When Davison told them what he had found at Smith, when he explained how the 2 humanoids on the fleet ship had brainwashed HQ, when he showed them that wiping out the Terrans on New Tahiti was just a small part of the whole alien conspiracy against Earth, when he reminded them of the cold, hard figures, 2,500 humans to 3 million creatures, then they began to really get behind him. Davison kept busy getting some of the best loggers and junior officers firmly with him. When he had enough of them, he could really trust, a squad of 10 lifted a few items from old Moo's locked-up room in the rec house full of war toys and then went off one Sunday into the woods to play. Davison had located the Creechy town some weeks ago and had saved up the treat for his men. He could have done it single-handed, but it was better this way. You got the sense of comradeship, of a real bond among men. They just walked into the place in broad open daylight and coated all the creatures caught above ground with fire jelly and burned them, then poured kerosene over the warren roofs and roasted the rest. Those that tried to get out got jellied. That was the artistic part. waiting at the rat holes for the little rats to come out, letting them think they'd made it, and then just frying them from the feet up so they made torches. That green fur sizzled like crazy. It actually wasn't much more exciting than hunting real rats, which were about the only wild animals left on Mother Earth. But there was more thrill to it. The creatures were a lot bigger than rats, and you knew they could fight back, though this time they didn't. In fact, some of them even lay down instead of running away, just lay there on their backs with their eyes shut. It was sickening. Every one of them kept his trap shut back at camp, no boasting even to their buddies. So far as old Moo knew, all his men were good little boys just sawing up logs and keeping away from creatures, yes, sir, and he could go on believing that until D-Day came. For the creatures would attack somewhere, here, or one of the camps on King Island, or Central. Davison knew that. He was the only officer in the entire colony that did know it. Nobody else had believed him, except these men here, whom he'd had time to convince. But the others would all see, sooner or later, that he was right. And he was right.